Hello, everyone. Welcome back to season two of Mentorship Matters with Dave and Liz. On this podcast, we share our thoughts on mentorship and career paths and how to succeed as a corporate and securities lawyer. I'm Dave Lynn, and I'm pleased to be joined today by my co-host, Liz Dunshee. And we're very excited to launch season two with our special guest, Kathy Jafari. Kathy is a partner at Cozen O'Connor, where she serves as the chair of the firm's corporate governance group, co-chair of the capital markets and securities group, and chair of the ESG practice. Alongside building that successful practice advising boards and executive, Kathy's career is very notable for the way that she's really prioritized giving back to the business and legal communities. And we're going to spend some time talking to Kathy today about what that's looked like for her and what sort of benefits that provides, as well as the paths that are available for getting involved and her advice on as a leader in her firm on mentoring the next generation. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you so much, David and Liz. I really cannot tell you how happy I am to be here with the two of you. I love the series. I love its title. About 25 years ago, I actually brought mentoring to my prior firm. We called it Mentoring Matters. So I'm
Oh,
glad.
wow.
I
Catchy.
love what you're doing. And just a reminder, you're David to me, Dave.
You're
So I know I'm in good company because I've
not alone in
heard
that
across.
regard.
Called you that too, but I'll do my best. But after 15 years, you're always David to me. So wonderful
That's
to
fine.
be
I'm David to me too, so that
here
works
with you.
out.
Love that.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, Kathy. We have been looking forward to talking with you. Your enthusiasm for community involvement is really second to none, and I've always admired your energy for that. You've held leadership roles for bar associations at both the local and national level. You have advised on various task forces and institute. You serve as special corporate counsel and in other capacities at leadership organizations like Direct Women. You're committed to pro bono work. You sit on nonprofit boards, and you have served as an adjunct professor. What led you down this path of giving back in so many ways, and how do you balance all of these extras alongside your busy practice advising boards and executives?
Liz, thank you so much for this question. I honestly have to say I love it because it provides me the opportunity to pay respect to two of my most important mentors. And I always say, if I've ever done anything helpful or good, it's thanks to my parents. So both my father and mother were my mentors. And even though they've passed away, what I can say is their words continue to guide me in my career and personal life. And Liz, what those words were about service. They always instilled in me and my sister that kind of our purpose was to be of service, and that can be what life is all about. And the exciting thing for me about being in service, not just to my clients, but to the community around me, is that hopefully I'm enriching others, but at the same time, I'm actually getting enriched. What's really happening is it's a lot, even when you say it and you ask me the question.
Yeah, that was a very long question to even read. And that was the short version. Like, I could have gone into much more detail. So,
I
yes.
hear the list. I certainly know what I do in my during my days, and but it fills me up. It, you know, what's that saying, Liz? We talk about it. What fills your cup to be able to do other things that aren't by choice, right? Some of the things, I mean, there's some clients we love and others that, we are just happy to help as opposed to the love part. But as we both know, as all three of us know, capital markets, corporate law, yes, other lawyers are very busy, but our practice can be insane. And even though it's fulfilling in a lot of ways, I can find times where I'm drained by it. I can find times where the practice and the needs of our clients can be exhausting, even though I love it. So I honestly believe why I've been successful is that I found other ways to help fill my cup, not just the practice of law with my client. So being of service fills me with purpose. And I actually think being a lawyer, serving my clients is the same type of service. So that does fill my cup sometimes too. because at the end of the day, I want to be a trusted advisor. But that's what's kind of led me on this path of filling my life with things that help support me in everything that I do. And Liz, while I love the question, I will promise you I don't balance it per se. I love using the word integrate as opposed to balance,
Very
because
good.
I can promise you there's times, whether it's in my career, in my month, in my day, where my family will take priority, where my clients will take priority, where my pro bono matter may take, where the priority, where the ABA or the
Yeah.
FLEA-R will take priority. So what I've tried to do in my career is integrate, kind of
Yeah.
just try to find a flow that sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, and try to remind myself to give myself grace as I give grace to others. So that's how I kind of view the path on how I've been able to do it and who my inspiration was in providing service to supplement my career as a capital market securities lawyer.
I love that. And I know we've talked about your parents too and how important they were to you. So that's wonderful to hear what an influence they've been.
Thank you, Liz.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. And I think one question I get a lot, and I'm sure you get it a lot too, is just sort of from people starting out or people who are even more advanced in their career, just how do you get involved? What is the way to branch out into some of these other activities? Are there ways you could just kind of dip your toe in and test the waters, or do you have to kind of go full force into one or more things? And are there sort of mentorship pathways that you can follow into some of these types of activities that makes it a little bit easier and less intimidating to try these kind of new endeavors?
Yeah.
Be interested in your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will tell you, David, I definitely am a big believer that if you jump, the ground will support you, right? It doesn't always feel that way. And you feel like you're stepping into an abyss, especially if it's unknown. But I love all the sayings, right? Leap and the net will appear. Take a leap of faith. All of the different sayings. One that has really resonated with me recently, David, is leap before the spark fades. So I'm going to share that one, because my advice to people who are, how can I add something to my career to help fill my cup, right? Is to find your passion. What are you passionate about? Because if you don't have passion for something, you really won't look at it as enjoyable. It will suddenly become a burden. So your volunteering for something will be a burden. It won't fill your cup. And as a matter of fact, you may not even do it as well as you could, because when you're not passionate about something and it feels like a burden, it's really hard. It's really hard to get involved. I think about this incredible series that you guys have built. I know you're passionate about mentors. I've seen you mentor people. I've seen you share your guidance and get guidance from others. So my guess is this in and of itself is not a burden, even though you're adding something to your lives that takes time. So I really think it's okay to leap. It's okay to jump in stuff. But if you just want to dip your toe in, that's okay too. I will promise you, we're lawyers. Whether we leap, jump, or dip our toe in, we don't do any of it blindly. It's just not in our nature, right? It may look like we're leaping, but as lawyers, we don't leap blindly. So, in terms of maybe steps to take, if you want to start by stepping your toe in, definitely figure out your passion and figure out what kind of sparks your interest. And try to find ways to get involved. That can be your passion, can be kids, your passion could be the environment, theater, exercise. Are there ways that you can get involved in an organization that serves that particular constituency? I know a lot of lawyers who love riding bikes. Philadelphia has the different bike clubs, and they take care of how do we make sure we have bike lanes. What I say is lawyers are always needed around a table. Why? We're innate problem solvers. We are the ones who help support and then help problem solve. So you can dip your toe in by just becoming a member of an organization or becoming an observer of a governance body, whether it's a board or an executive committee. I can promise you, after probably more than 40 years of nonprofit service, nonprofits, associations need help. And if you go into something thinking you have to do everything, I think all three of us know we'll be forced to do everything. If you go into something saying, I'm here to give a helping hand, give me some ideas of what you need, it's okay to pick and choose. It's okay to kind of figure out what works best for your schedule in a certain time of your life. And our lives change, right, guys? Like sometimes we have a little bit more free time than we have in the past. Sometimes we get too busy to take something on. So times change in your career and in your life. So I would say find your passion, find ways to get involved, even if it means just getting exposure to an organization. And you'll really feel fulfilled, I think, if you find ways to apply your skill sets. Like when I think about, you mentioned it, Liz, I think you mentioned direct women, right? So I serve as special corporate counsel, helping them with various corporate matters. But I know underlying that, I'm actually supporting the greater good of the organization, promoting more women lawyers on corporate boards. Support Center for Child Advocates. I've been a child advocate for more than 28 years, representing abused and neglected children. And people say to me, how does a corporate lawyer serve as a child advocate? We have skills that we can apply to problem solving, to really just being supports. And all of these things have helped my career. They've helped me become better communicators. They've helped me become even better problem solver. They've helped me look around the corner, which I know the three of us know that's really important in board guidance and management guidance, because you're always looking for the unexpected, especially when it's not in your world. So just try to dip your toe in, jump and know that the net will be there. If it's too intimidating, call a friend, ask a friend to join you. If you can't find a friend, tell everybody they can call me. See what I can do to support them.
That last point's a great point because I think, we always think of like networking in the context of business development and career advancement, but networking also can be really useful in this realm of sort of working in organizations and giving back. And, as you were talking about it, I think about all the times that I got involved in a organization just because someone in my network asked me to do it. And a perfect example of that is when you, Kathy, when I sort of lost my passion with the ABA business law section, you retrieved me from my time away and brought me back into it. So I appreciate that.
And such an honor to have you back. And now you can help me work on Liz, because I want her in my committee, our committee.
Not for lack of effort on Kathy's part either. Yeah, and Kathy, you're one of the most well-connected people I know too. And so I think and I can tell that you get energy from those connections in addition to the substantive work that you're doing. And so being involved in all of these different organizations just connects you to so many different people who are doing different and interesting things as well, which then exponentially increases your networks. Obviously, those people know people too. So
That's exactly
I'm
right.
always in awe of how many people you know.
I'm the lucky one. I truly believe that.
Well, as Dave alluded to, you're very involved with the American Bar Association. I think a lot of people listening to this are probably familiar with your work there. You chaired the Business Law Section's Corporate Governance Committee, and through that, you have helped lead national thought leadership on corporate governance and sustainability issues. And you've also served as Chancellor of the Philadelphia Bar Association. And I was interested to learn that that is the oldest bar association in the US, and I know they're very active. How has steering these large and influential groups shaped your perspective on mentoring the next generation of corporate governance and securities lawyers? And what kinds of professional development opportunities do you believe that this type of bar association work uniquely provides?
Liz, this is such a thoughtful question because it's really honing in on what the role of leaders can mean to the process of mentoring, right? So I will say, prior to becoming Chancellor of the Philadelphia Bar Association on January 1st, 2025, I actually gave a speech to our members. And in that speech, I said that one of my most important goals, if I met it, I feel like we would succeed as an organization, is to have the members, the legal community, and even Philadelphians at large feel seen and heard and have the opportunity to grow and succeed. And I feel like what I love about this question is it made me reflect on what mentoring really is all about. Mentors can help their mentees feel seen and heard. I truly believe in the concept of sponsorship, right? I think there's a distinction. We all need sponsors in my perspective, sponsorship is about the person who speaks up for you when you're not in the room, the person who is in a position to both champion your growth, but also help elevate you. What mentors can do, they can certainly do all of those things, which if they do, it's incredible. But the other thing that mentors can do is they can literally be there for their mentees, be that person that if somebody is confused, lost, literally needs a friend in their career, that can be the role of a mentor, the guide that is not the supervisor, right? Is not the person that, is not even that person that is in the position to elevate you per se, but it can be that person that you can go to when you really want advice on, I'll say it, what do I wear at this event that I've never been to? I do cross mentoring, meaning I go to my mentees and ask them for mentoring, right? You've been to XY event 10 times. This is the first time I'm going. Are they wearing suits? I just don't know. And that's that safe space where mentors can really support each other and be in a place or in a position where they can see and hear the people that they are guiding. And it's really the roles that I've even noticed it as chair of the Corporate Governance Committee. At the ABA and the Philly Bar, I'm not just called upon for my expertise as a lawyer, whether it's a governance lawyer or a capital markets lawyer, but I'm called upon for all different types of advice. And I do think when you're in a leadership role, especially of influential groups, you can actually build those relationships where you're helping others. Right. And where you're not just lifting them up, but being there alongside when they just need some guidance. And you don't have to lift them up. You're just that call. And I have to say, when I think about the roles, especially at the ABA and the Philadelphia Bar Association, not even the nonprofit roles that many of us serve on, that I know the two of you provide service to, but the professional organizations, what they've done for me is really create an incredible path to relationships. David, you touched on that, right? The relationships that we build and opportunities, whether it is speaking, teaching, leading. I mean, there's just so many different opportunities that as leaders of organizations or in certain positions, we can mentor our colleagues into those roles to help them professionally and fill their cup should they choose to. Did that answer your question? Because I love the question, so I want to make sure I answered it.
Yes, absolutely. I think the bar associations are unique too, in that there's a cross section of lawyers in different practice areas. And so it's a good opportunity to be able to interact with people who aren't, just corporate governance and securities lawyers, and then understand the broader perspective of how the profession is serving the community and the different issues that are arising. And as a leader in those organizations, I think you're also really viewed as a trustworthy person that people know that they can go to with any questions or needs. And so, I think it's unique to be elevated into those roles, and there's a reason it's unique, but they are a position of trust. And so it's a good way to get involved. And if you stay involved like Kathy, you can get all the way to the top and do a lot of good in the world.
And it's so fulfilling. Liz, I love your perspective of it because I will tell you, as a securities capital markets lawyer, I'm not in court. I don't want to be in court. I don't need to be in court. But to have Eastern District judges call me to say, I'm just looking for XYZ, can you help me? That, as a lawyer,
Yeah, a
tells
real lawyer.
me, it's like, I'm like, okay. Or when a Supreme Court, a state Supreme Court justice calls me to say, I'm looking for XYZ, or can you help me build a committee on ABC? That's really exciting. I mean, I'll have to
Yeah.
be honest. It's just to know that people turn to you with that trust factor. I think, Liz, you hit the nail on the head, right? How does that not fill you up or fill your
It's
cup?
a way to be in the room where it happens.
Yes. And again, helps you build yourself professionally from a communication style, from a leadership style. Your clients want to know you're in control, you're going to solve the problem, and you can communicate it to any of the constituents, right? We are governance capital markets lawyers. We need to be able to speak to the general counsel. We need to be able to speak to the board's members in the boardroom, the C-suite folks, and sometimes we need to be doing training with all of the employees, and we need to be able to learn and understand how to adjust in our communication. And these roles can help you do that. Sorry, David.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And in your role at the firm, as I mentioned in your bio, you have a number of leadership roles. And I'd be interested in your thoughts in that capacity. Have you observed any sort of gaps in terms of mentoring younger associates that are interested in this practice area? And are there things that the more senior lawyers can do better in terms of creating those mentorship pathways in the firm?
I think, and I really would love to hear your perspectives, or even if you have perspectives from others that you've been talking to, because what I really think is that I think there are, unfortunately, mentorship gaps in our industry right now, and it's across the board. It's certainly not, just my firm or my firm. It's across the gap from a legal industry perspective, in the sense that it's always the case that what happens in our careers is as a result of the times that we live it. Living in a post-COVID world with less time in the office, less time for people to be together, less time for what I always refer to as informal mentoring, that just kind of bubbles up through existence of even just passing each other in the hallway. Living in that world, I believe we have to be much more intentional with respect to mentoring relationships. I think there's lots of leaders. I know we're doing it here at Cozen. We are being very intentional on the types of things that we are doing to make sure that, for example, our associates are seen and heard. For example, those you asked, David, about the practice area, those who are interested in the practice area, really just finding ways to communicate in different ways than just walking down the hallway and knocking on somebody's door, but communicating in ways that, if you're interested in securities, here are some suggestions of what you can do, what we're happy to support you in. But it's intentional, right? We can't just hope mentors will happen and the opportunities for mentoring will get created. We're not getting a cup of coffee anymore and bumping into each other in the kitchen. We're not, I was thinking about this question a little bit, David, and I was thinking about the times when, do you remember when we used to have to file our SEC documents and we had to wait like 2 hours for the SEC EDGAR acceptances because you didn't get them right away? This is right in the beginning, 30 years ago. There's a group of us that gathered, and if we were the team of ladies, we went and got our nails done. And cross-mentoring with each other. If it was a mix of ladies and men, we went out, we got our pizza, and we waited for our SEC acceptances. And at the same time, this person said, well, I don't know how to handle this partner. Do you have any advice? Or, I don't know how to handle this project. So it was, I don't think we had to be as intentional. And I just think now my hope is more senior lawyers are reaching out to associates. And I'm not just talking about giving them work or even giving them feedback, but just reaching out and saying, how you doing? How's, if you're a first year, how was the first 6 months? I know it's hard, but do you have any questions? And it's okay if you don't. I do think it's a two-way street. I'm curious, what you're hearing from others, but I do think it's also hard for the, I'll call them the mentees, since we're talking about mentors and leadership suggestions for mentors. I think it's hard for the mentees because they also have grown up in a different environment and they may not know how to be intentional. And maybe it's not fair to say, but I would put more onus on the senior lawyers. Some people may not want to hear that, but if we can, I truly think we'll make a difference, not just for them, but also for our own institutions. I think building those relationships, reaching out, being intentional, giving our associates access to clients. Sometimes that was just organic because they walked in the room. Now we want to be intentional and say, I want to give you the access to the clients. I want you to learn how to interact with board members and members of the C-suite. Because at the end of the day, we're advisors and no one will take advice from someone they don't trust. And the only way to build that trust is through communication and relationships. That's what I was thinking about in terms of if there's a gap, I think that might be the gap and the fact that we have to be, if we can, more intentional because mentorship matters.
Right. That's a great point. And I think you're absolutely right. The environment changed a lot on both sides in terms of the more senior folks and the more junior folks who just didn't grow up in those other realms that we're all used to, that, was very much more, in person and sometimes more collaborative environment. And I think there's other sort of macro factors at work here, like AI and just the relentless increase in law firm rates and
Yes,
the desire
yes.
of clients to pay less than they want to be what firms want them to do, I should say. And so I think all those things are kind of making it harder and harder, where I think your solution of being more intentional is really probably the only solution in a lot of ways to make those connections nowadays.
It's not easy. And it's certainly not one thing. It's not just COVID, and it's not just being. This concept of hybrid or work from home. It's all everything that you talked about.
Yeah, intentional and regular, I think, are
Love that
two
word. Yes.
good ways to go about it. Even just internal opportunities for visibility, like every month an associate presents in the department meeting, and then other associates can see that coming and seize the opportunity when it comes their way. And it's a chance to get in front of people, and maybe someone reaches out to them with a question about what they presented on. So, just little things like that, I think, can help. But you're totally right. You have to be intentional about it.
I love that, Liz. And that's a great example. So, for our capital market security group meetings, right? I email people and I say, hey, will you speak on X, Y, and Z for just 5 minutes? You don't even have to prepare. You just worked on this project with so and so as the associate. Could you just take 2 minutes to talk about it? So, again, I'm not doing it at the meeting because I don't want them to be blindsided. But I have to be intentional, which look, it takes time. You got to think about it. Where is it going to fit in the agenda? But honestly, if you make it for the senior lawyers, if you make it part of your almost DNA, then it becomes a ha it just happens, right? It, and that intentionality is there, right? You're almost creating it. If that does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It becomes second nature.
Thank you. That's the term I was looking for. That's fabulous. Yes.
Well, thank you, Kathy, so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure, as always, to talk with you.
I have to say, I think you both know this. Any chance I get to spend with the two of you is not just time well spent, but truly time that I love and that fills my cup. So thank you, really,
Oh, thank
for
you.
this opportunity.
Thank you. And then for those who are listening, we want to thank you as well. Please stay tuned for future episodes of Mentorship Matters with Dave and Liz. If you have a topic or a guest who you think would be great for the podcast, feel free to contact Dave or me by LinkedIn or by email. Thanks, everyone.